1 Samuel chapter 1 is the main text, Romans 8:28, and tonight we are trying to think, get a little deeper, all right? And I'm not talking about ooky spooky deep, I'm just talking about let's look at the scriptures a little bit differently than we have before. I've seen this, I was actually looking at a totally different message for tonight. I think it was a personal thing. And then all of a sudden God got in it and took me over here to 1 Samuel, but then he started showing me stuff. So I don't even know how far we'll make it. The desire would be to make it 15 verses. If not, that's fine. Gary, if you don't mind, would you give me that Romans 8:28? All right, slow that down and read it down again. Slow it down just a little bit. Read it a little bit louder, a little bit slower.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for those who are called.
All right, do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. And we know all things work to the good for those that love God, right? So that means you love God, you love Jesus. That means to love him is to know him, to be saved, be forgiven, right? And we know all things. When I read that verse, I love going to that verse. It's one of my favorites. It's a life verse for me. When I'm struggling with some area, I'm like, when I'm looking at something in my life that I can't figure out why it's there. Does that make sense? Are you okay? Something that doesn't make sense why it has arrived in my life, okay? So automatically I started thinking about that, and God put this on my heart today. So we're going to start in verse 1, and you know how we work, Diane. We know how we work, right?
Yes.
So I can be rude and cut you off and tell you to reread like I did Gary a second ago.
Okay.
So please start with that wonderful reading voice.
Samuel 1 and 1.
Yes.
Now there was a certain man of of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, yes, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, and Ephraelite.
All right, you know that's the whole reason I wanted you to read tonight. Thank you for that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was not the only reason. I think better when I'm hearing it as well as I'm reading it. So tonight, I want y'all to get that. So let's go back. Let's look at this. Elkanah, all right? Let's read his name right there, Elkanah. He's married to Hannah, and he's married to Peninnah, and he's a great man, okay? Now, in years past, when I have read this, I've kind of given him a bad shake, okay? I've kind of looked at him in a different light than what I should have. But let's just say it this way. For each season in your life, the Word of God will not change, but you will. Okay? The Word of God never changes. But your aspect of how you look at it and your life experience will have you change how you see the Scripture. The Scripture will still have the same meaning, the same characters, and the same people doing the same things. And the doctrinal stuff is absolutely solid. Okay? It never shifts. But when we look at the Word of God, I want you to see sometimes that you can see it from a little bit different aspect. And I see this gentleman in his culture, him having two wives means that he can financially support two separate families. Amen? Now, everybody in here, I don't want to get into the whole dichotomy of that. You know, as far as polygamy and all of that, I don't think that's something that's just of a culture. But when you look at it this way, he was expecting to have two wives and to have multiple sons and daughters on both sides. And he was willing to, and he was prosperous enough to worship and bless the Lord for every life that he's given. We can learn a lesson right there. Bless the Lord for every life that you are given. Amen. I think the American culture probably has done one thing wrong. In raising kids, we say things and do things with kids that the Jewish culture and the Middle East culture will never, ever do. They will never criticize. They will never say, you're stupid, or you're dumb, or you're never going to be anything, or you're never going to. They never do that. They never do that. They'll always say, you should have done better. You can do this right, but you are going to be prosperous. You're going to do well. Amen? I think a lot of times we say stuff to kids that we won't realize we say it, and we might say it half-jokingly, but the words still come out of our mouths, right? Right? Okay, but see, let's look at this guy. He's married. He's supporting his family. Look at verse 2, if you will. Let me get out this whole, everything I want to get out of this. This man is not married to these two women by accident or in the wrong time or place. The reason I said that right there is I want y'all to start thinking there is absolutely nothing wrong with the timing God has in your life. Let me slow that down and say it again. Sometimes we think we're too late, too early, that we've done that, we didn't do that, wrong time, we didn't. Let me tell you this, if you're saved and born again, or if you're in the process of, if God's still working on you, you're right on time. I have made the sorry mistake of saying, man, I wish I'd have got saved when I was 16 years old. I'd have done so much more for God. I wish I'd have got saved when I was 8. I didn't. Can't do nothing about that. All I can affect is what we do from here on out. Amen? That's all you can do. It's here on out. Hey, whatever you got forward, you got to say, all right, that's when I got it. That's where I'm going to go with it. But I want y'all to see this. God's timing is perfect. God has he is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he is the beginning and the end. That means he has got a track of events that's going to happen no matter what. Amen? Y'all think about that. It's going to happen no matter what. And so you can't bend that track. When it comes to the Messiah, when it comes to the first coming, the second coming of Christ, you can't change it. It's coming. All you can do is get on board with God's role for your life and perform it. Amen? I want y'all to get this because I look at this sometimes, and when I read this, I think sometimes when I'm reading these scriptures, I'm so detailed, I'm so story-oriented. I see stories. When somebody's talking to me and they start telling me a story, I start seeing the in-between stuff, the stuff that they're not saying. It's, I don't know why I thought I was either meant to be in ministry or to be a lawyer. Neither one of them's too far off. But like when somebody's telling me a story, especially if it's one of turmoil and strife and addiction, everything, I can, as the story's coming out, I can say, wait a minute, there's something missing there. There's something missing there. There's something missing there. That needs to be a question. I need to ask that question. There's something that needs to be said right there. And I kind of figure out what's missing. That's why when I read the scriptures and I see characters, I see some stuff in there that needs to be explained. So I want you to get this. You're right on time. You're right where you're supposed to be. You're right where you're supposed to be with God and his timing. Just do what you're supposed to do in him. Amen? And listen, can I give y'all another bomb real quick? Every person that's in your life is there on purpose too. Woo! Glory to God. Because let's just, wait a minute, let's let that marinate, can we? Let's put that in the marinator of our minds. I want somebody right now, just in your mind, just everybody in here, just think, there's just one person in your life right now, you say, man, I wish they wasn't there. Okay, you got them? You know what? They're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. All right, let's jump this next. Give me the next verse. I'm going to kind of roll us into that real quick. Verse 2, sorry.
And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Yes. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children.
All right, stop right there. All right, Peninnah, she had children. Okay, now this is another cultural reference, okay? In today's time, nothing. Not much difference. That time, huge stark difference. Blessed, cursed. Favored, not favored. Got a plan, no plan. Got a future, no future. Amen? And everything determined whether, especially if you had a man child, own land, own property, have a position, have a title, have an inheritance. The women, it did not work that way. Amen? And even if you did have a girl, at least maybe there might be an inheritance, or she could marry somebody that could get an inheritance. She had neither. Amen? But you know what she had? She had Hannah. Hannah had Peninnah to compare herself to. Some of y'all need to write this down. You spend too much time comparing yourself to other people. You spend too much time putting yourself in the comparison of somebody else's walk with the Lord, somebody else's service with the Lord, and somebody else's ministry with the Lord. Whew. I'm not as good as them. I'm not as this. They're this. They're better than me. They've got more. They've done this. They've done that. That is not the case. There are two different people here. Amen? Two different people. Sometimes we don't even know our value until God really gets a hold of our life. And sometimes, praise God, I want you to get this. Sometimes you get this. Sometimes your value is faster than somebody else's, but it doesn't make it more, because somewhere down the line, their value could surpass your value. I just said something that y'all should have been like, hey, man, that's good, preacher. Did y'all say what I'm saying? There were certain people in the Bible, okay? There were certain people in the New Testament. They would come along and do something. Okay, the woman that touched Jesus with the issue of blood, boom. Did she have great faith? Did she have some more faith than some of the apostles and disciples at the time? Yes. did the centurion have more faith than probably anybody Jesus had met? Remember when he came to him and he said, I know you can heal my servant? And he's like, yeah, well, let's go do it. He said, no, I don't even. And when we get into the details, he didn't even come to Jesus. He sent somebody. And he said, you are a man of authority just like me. He goes, I've only got 100 people under me. You're in control of everything. He said, if I give an order to the 99th guy, the number one guy has to fulfill the order. He said, if you call it out, my servant's going to be healed. That was a Gentile. And he said, this person has more faith than anybody I've met, even in Jerusalem. Amen? Think about that. Did he have a greater ministry than Peter, James, or John? Ultimately. No. Amen? But did he have a faster one? Sure. Did he get on board earlier? Did all the apostles and disciples go, man, this guy's blowing us away. We'd waste time. We'd do the Syrophoenician woman. Another Gentile. Two Gentiles in the New Testament got it when the Jews and the children of Israel couldn't get a hold of it. The apostles and disciples said, hey, I've got a devil at home. Anybody got a devil at home? I got a daughter. She got the devil in her. Amen? They tell you need to be quiet. If I go home without Jesus doing something, the devil's still going to be there. I want him to do something in my life, in my home. Amen? So we've got those examples. So here we see, Peninnah just blows a door. She's got children. We're going to get into that in a minute. She's barren. Man, I'm telling you right now, sometimes you think, man, I'm no good. And you don't know what your value is. Golly, let's go get to the next verse. God, I want to preach everything. I get ahead of myself, and the scripture's got to be there for it.
And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there.
Okay, I'm going to get this next verse. I'm going to move past this real quick. But I want you to get this. Every year they went up to sacrifice. Every year they went up to sacrifice for their sins, to cover their sins, and to worship the Lord, okay? And what he was saying, here's some of that timeline stuff. The priest that he outlined right there, except Eli. Eli was a good man, but his sons were wicked. Man, there ain't nothing like having a spiritual father and having wicked sons. Amen? It's possible. I tell people all the time, you need to start talking to your kids about strategies. The enemy's strategy. He doesn't mind for you to come to a spiritual church, have worship, see souls saved, but he will pluck people out of this church who absolutely go here, hang out here for 18 years, and he will take them out there and make a trophy of them in front of everybody. Y'all get this? You need to be telling your kids, listen, I was thinking about this whole time. Everything when you're coming up, 18, 19, 20, 21, man, let's just be real, 14, 15, 16, everything you're putting into your life is going to stay in that bank your whole life. Everything you are in this room right now, you know that it started when you were 14, 15, 16. Some of the stuff that you have scars, the baggage, the stuff you carry, it didn't happen when you were 35, 36, 37. It happened earlier. Because the devil works when you're younger to disturb the plan of God in your life. Amen? And we do not talk enough to our kids about the strategies of the enemy and the strategies God would have for them and what we are going to do. Amen? Think about it. Go ahead, go a little bit further. They went up every year, but the reason I was going to use the timeline, I'm going to slow it down right there. The reason I want to talk about the timeline, God needed a prophet. Amen? Y'all good? So he's lining up somebody who doesn't look like she has a prophet in her to bring forth a prophet. But until, she's ready to bring forth a prophet, he's preparing the prophet's chamber to where he can come forth. Y'all good? He's preparing Hannah to be the housing for the new prophet, but she's not ready yet, so he's got to work on her through the circumstances and the people in her life. God, man, this is good stuff. I want you to get this. God is working on you through the circumstances and the people in your life. Go ahead. Give me that next verse. But is that good? Y'all get that right there? Man, some of this stuff, I don't know how deep we'll go into the verses, but some of this stuff I needed to get out. Go ahead. Please.
And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions.
Stop. Look at this right here. It's killing me. Elkanah offered to give Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and to all of her daughters, plural. Right? Do y'all get that? All her sons and all her daughters, plural. These kids are running around everywhere. Amen? And they're blessed. They're getting blessed. They're getting prayed for. Their daddy's blessing them. Their daddy's giving up offerings and special blessings and going before God and saying, listen, I hope I'm preaching as good as this is in my mind right here. I don't care if it's solemnly holy good. If you're hurting and you're miserable, the good can make you go bad if you're not careful. Oh, come on, man. Y'all just stop there, right? Let's just say on the way up there, the mules are loaded down with the blessings. Oxen, sheep, fatted calf, everything. All this silver, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you probably couldn't even have, Gary, this is how I am. Charlie, this is how we are. He's right. And every once in a while, he don't even realize it. He's like, man, I can't wait to get up there to the house of the Lord where I can thank God for all my boys and girls. My God, he's been so good to me. It sounds good. Now, Penn and I was over there, big smile on the front. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good boys. Good daughters. Hannah's on the other one. Not one. Not even one. You understand what I'm saying? Then to be up there and all, listen, I'm being honest. I'm one sacrifice, another sacrifice, another sacrifice, another sacrifice. I mean, slaughtered, blood flowing, the smell of roasted beef in the air. Man, praise God. There's one over here. Woe's me. Woe's me. But is it by mistake? Is it by mistake? Think about it. Listen, I've read this for years. I've preached it but some things change in your life. What makes you, God, some of y'all are going to get this. What makes you who you are in the ministry that you're in? It ain't always the good. It ain't always the success. It ain't always everybody cheering. Sometimes there has to be a driver. God made you, designed you, placed people around you. He knew exactly what it was going to take for you to get busy serving Him. Good gosh. Hey, this went on for years. Ed, years. Not months, not weeks, not one time. Enough for everybody to have 3 or 4 girls and 5 or 6 boys. You good? He was just sharpening Hannah. God was making her. Man, I've looked back now. Man, I was sitting there trying to count it up as I was thinking. Man, I've been in full-time ministry for 15 years. Man, 15 years. I've been preaching for almost 18 years. And I'm sitting here thinking, God, I can't be that old. It's impossible. The numbers don't add up. But I am. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, but I'm thinking, man, it wasn't most of the good stuff. It wasn't most of the good stuff that got us down the road in ministry. It was the tough stuff. I was thinking about it tonight. I turned around a couple times. One, I want to make sure that thing was working, but I wanted to look. You know what this was when I first started preaching? A good Sunday morning crowd at the church that I first started going to. You know what I was thinking? I would run to the pulpit. My pastor would go, "You got a word?" I'd be like, "Yes." He goes, "You want to preach this morning?" "Yes." And I mean, as soon as he would say my name, he would get one. I was preaching. You know what I mean? But I was saying, man, praise God. And it wasn't, man, it was rough times, rough people, rough things, rough situations. People he planted in my life, things he put in there. Man, I got people coming to me, well, this, that, and that. Praise God, I've experienced so many crazy things in ministry. I'll give you one of the best ones. My favorite thing in ministry, we talk about this one. I used to go to the nursing home and preach. You ain't no preacher if you don't preach at the nursing home. There ain't nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. We used to go up almost every Saturday. After church, we'd rush over there and preach. And, man, they loved it. Man, they'd have little ladies, have tambourines. Man, we'd have worship services. Awesome. But, man, one Saturday, I got there on my own, right? And I'm sitting there preaching. This old lady, she got to wheeling around over behind the piano. She got lost, couldn't get out of there. And all of a sudden, she just goes, "Would you please shut up?" She goes, "I can't get out of here." And I'm like, "Yes, ma'am, I will." Helped her get out the door, and we just went right back on to preaching. It was amazing. That was the best. That was the best. I was like, dude, this is awesome. Where does this hell happen at? And that's just a funny one. But I've had crazy things happen. But strategically, God puts things in our lives to bring about what he's trying to go. Give me the next verse. Oh, we'll try to get, I don't know how much of this we're going to get tonight. This is a little bit deeper level. This is not just a story. This is how does God use certain things. Please, next verse.
But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb.
All right, stop right there. This is good, right? This is where I've been kind of, Elk and I have given him a hard line for years because he says something I seen as dumb in the next few verses. He said something dumb, so I kind of put that label on him a long time ago that really don't deserve it. I want you to write this down. Some people see value in you that you don't even see yet. Amen? He gave her value as if she was having children. A worthy portion was given to a wife who was having children. She had not had children, but he's seen worthiness in here. Man, it takes a special person who's not getting anything from you to bless you for the things that he believes that you can give. Man, I had to go back and rewrite Elkanah in my book as, man, he was a great husband. He could have just went with the, "Hey, Penn and I, you're the superstar. I'll spend all my time with you. I don't have to do anything for her because she can't do anything for me." But man, how awesome is it was, "I'm trying to bless you because I believe you can be." And Hannah doesn't even know. Man, you might want to write this down. Sometimes some people see the worth in you that you don't see, and then sometimes you can't even see who God wants you to be. I heard this really great analogy that I wanted to use tonight. I heard it today, so I'm going to kind of loop it into this message. But I was saying, he was talking about lions, and lions are my favorite. All right? So this guy was talking about lions that were raised in captivity. If you go to the zoo, if anybody been to the zoo, they got lions. Most of the times the lions are always sleeping. All right? I've always thought about going over there at night and seeing if I could. Never mind, it's a weird thing. If I'm ever in jail, that will be what it's for. All right, anyway, But they, he said, even though a lion can be taken into captivity from birth, or even born in captivity, fed in captivity, raised in captivity, handled in captivity, but every single night, you know what they do? You know what they do? Even in the daytime, you know what they make sure they do? Anybody want to take a guess? They make sure they lock them doors. You know? Have you ever been to the zoo? One that's been late. I mean, this lion right here, been raised in captivity its whole life, been fed by a bottle, by raised by hand fed, everything like that. But you know where it's, if it's behind glass so thick, behind metal so thick, a creek so wide, can't jump, can't run, can't get in there. And you think, well, wait a minute, if that's all it's ever known, why are we taking so much precaution? Why? Anybody want to take a wild guess? Huh? He said, it's because it's a lion. Man, he's a preacher. That's true. That's true. That's absolutely true. It's a lion, dummy, right? But even with all that in there, there's a natural instinct on the inside of that lion that it can't unfeel that. Every time, like, have you ever been to the zoo or something, all of a sudden somebody run by, like, I've seen somebody run by a cage or a small kid, and then things are just like, okay. Now, I went to a real lazy zoo. This is one up in Kentucky. I seen this kid take off running, and this lion, he just kind of, like, lifted his head, and he's like, you know, just that quick say. But there was something in his nature that said, I would like to chase that. Amen? I would like to. If there wasn't a moat, a gate, a fence, and if somebody named Brad wasn't bringing a load of beef around here in about 5 minutes, I might. Amen? And if I got hungry enough and the opportunity came, I'd take it. You know what? Some people as Christians, we've been raised in such a way and live such a way that we're boxed into boxes, but there's something on the inside of us that says, I want more. I want to do something more. I want to go after this thing. I just don't want to exist. I don't want to be just tame. I want to do what I feel like God's trying to do. Hannah had something on the inside that all the things God had placed in her life was making her think, man, I want more. Ain't it funny? Even the negative, the terrible things that God can allow to be around your life can actually push you to what God's wanting you to do in your life. Woo, man, ain't that something? Let's go a little bit further. How about I want to kind of get somewhere.
And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb.
Verse 6. Put this, adversaries are not bad. Adversaries are not bad. Sometimes an adversary makes you work harder. Sometimes an adversary makes you grind harder, makes you pray harder, makes you study harder, makes you concentrate more. It ain't the easy people in your life that make everything happen. Sometimes it's the hard stuff. I think some of the worst things that ever happened to me is I've got it too good or too easy. And you're sitting there going, man, used to the drive. Where did that? I mean, man, if I had an extra minute, I was after this thing. If I had an extra second, I was after this thing. Man, I don't feel like, oh, I've got plenty of time to do it. That's scary. That should scare some of you. Because we don't know how much time we got, period. I don't know how much time I got, period. So I've got to constantly fight. And I hope God, I want God to put things in my life that is going to actually push me to be better. Are y'all seeing this a little bit different than y'all have ever seen it? Man, I know when we get into Scripture, I'm like, man, everybody, man, we preach 1 Samuel every which way but loose. No. When you start looking at it, you say, man, God puts an adversary in your life to press you out. Matter of fact, at the end of your life, you might, if you was to sit down and list all the great people in your life, it's probably some people that you would have listed as an enemy, an adversary, or somebody you didn't like. You would think, golly, but they got more out of me than my friends and my buddies and my pals. Whew, man, I'm telling you right now, I've got 3 or 4 people rolling around in there. Man, thank God for them. Amen. Thank God for them. You'll never, I like some of them, you'll never do that. Oh, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's get a couple more verses. I hope I ain't wearing y'all out too bad. I'll give you just another couple verses.
And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat.
She took action. Let's go a little further.
Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?
Okay, here's where I get Elkanah every time. Dumb question. Don't ever ask your wife, am I not better than you than the kids, you know? I'd always say that. But you know what? He couldn't understand it. He was saying, I see your worth. I see you're blessed. I'm giving you everything I'd give you if you had 10. I'm blessing you. I'm loving you. I want to be with you. I think you're the best. That's what he's really saying. He's like, why are you crying? Why are you upset? I could understand if you was married to somebody and they just shut you out because your womb was closed up. I'm in with you. But it doesn't matter. Even the good people in your life will say some things sometimes that add to the fuel as well. Amen? They can't be your calling. They can't be the God in your life. They can't fulfill some things in your life that only God can fulfill. Amen, preacher? Thank you. I love my wife, and my wife, she loves me. I know that. But there are some things that only God can do in her life. There are only certain things God can do in my life. I would go crazy if I don't get to use my gift. She would go crazy if she didn't get to use her gift. Amen? Hannah's sitting there going, I know I've got something in me that God wants. I know it. Have you ever knew something that was in you and you knew God wanted it, but you just didn't know how? It was like he was asking the most impossible thing from you, but you knew, I know it's in there. I just know it's in there. I know there's something there for the Lord to use. I love that question. Let's go a little bit. I'm trying to get somewhere, I promise.
So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
All right, real quick, I want to get to this. I love this part right here. You know what Hannah just said? If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Now, I know I've said that before, but I want you to hear this. I will not make a mold for my son. I'll let you make it. Come on, mothers, help me out right there. I will not mold him. I will make you mold him. God, that's easy to say when you're not pregnant. It's easy to say when you've not given birth. It's easy to say when you're walking up there to Eli's. Golly, listen to what I'm saying. Eli's already ruined two boys. God, y'all are so cool with this stuff. Some of you moms, y'all get on my nerves with that right there. I would love to see you walking up there with your one-year-old baby boy, hand him over to a man and say, see ya. See ya. I guarantee where most mamas would have stayed, right out on the front porch. Right? God, I'll probably have to help you with this. That Eli's going to ruin this boy. He ruined him other two, and I know how he'll do with mine. No. You right? That's not what she did. That's not what she did. What she was saying on that prayer, what she was saying is, God, if you give me this ministry, if you allow me to birth this prophet, I will give him to you. Amen. Period. I will not do it my way. I will do it your way. Everything about him will not be about me. Goodness gracious. Some of y'all want to do stuff in the Lord. You want to do big stuff for the Lord? Take your doggone hands off of it. Take your mouth off of it. Take you off of it and ask God to give you a mold from him to work it. So many times, my ministry, this is what we do. Praise God, God don't need your help. He needs your willingness. He needs your humble brokenness. You want to be successful at ministry? Get down. Come down from the top and work up. Amen? If Jesus can get in the floor and wash feet, praise God, there ain't nothing we can't do. Nothing. Nobody can. Titles don't matter. We sang that song at the very beginning. You are going to throw everything you got at Jesus' feet anyway. Anyway. Period. I'm going to get this last verse. Last part, I promise. Verse 13, I think that's where it's going to be. Where we're going to end up, please. And it came to pass. Verse 12.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to get
it. Oh, I'm sorry.
And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Before Eli thought she had been drunken.
All right, let's stop right there. This is where we're going to stop. Man, I started thinking about this. I said, God, show me something different in this too. You know what he showed me? Eli had been so far removed from doing it the right way, when the real thing showed up, he couldn't even recognize it. I believe a lot of churches and a lot of ministries, a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders in churches, when the real thing would have showed up, they'd sit there and scratch their head and go, what's a big deal? What, are they drunk? He couldn't tell somebody who was broken in spirit compared to somebody who'd been drunk. You know why? He had two sons that were drunks. He had two sons that were running wild in the world, and that's all he could compare it to. He had let his ministry drift so far away from God that all he knew was the world. So when he seen somebody broken before God, it escaped him. He sat there and had to study it. Man, when's the last time I seen that? What scares me is, when was the last time I was like that? Maybe if I would have prayed for my boys like she's praying for a son that she doesn't have, we'd be still in ministry with my two sons. How about that? Man, I hope we never get to a place where we can't recognize God around here. Where somebody's broken in the spirit of God. Worshiping in the Spirit of God, preaching in the Spirit of God, serving in the Spirit of God. We're sitting there going, man, are they drunk? Now, I'm going to end it right here where this is. On the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. What did they accuse Peter of? You guys be drunk. I love what his response was. It's just early in the day, boys. We were up there in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came down. And that one you crucified didn't stay crucified. The one you put in the grave didn't stay in the grave. Amen? He's alive. And he's risen. And now he's inside of us. I hope this has been a kind of a dig, kind of pull some stuff up out of that verse and out of that chapter you've not seen, because it did for me. Don't be upset when God places things in your life that are not what you think they should be. People, events, times, things, circumstances. You think, man, this right here shouldn't be here, and I'm going to get it. You think, man, sometimes I wonder if God don't place some things in our life to expose some things that shouldn't still be there in our lives too. Amen? Let's all stand.